The Heart Sutra, chanted by Mahayana Buddhists around the world in tones, "Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. That which is form is emptiness. That which is emptiness, form. The same is true for feelings, perceptions, impulses, consciousness." People can get scared even hearing such a thing and maybe think that it is nihilistic, but it is not nihilistic at all. Emptiness means empty of inherent self-existence. In other words, that nothing, no person, no business, no nation, no atom, exists in and of itself as an enduring entity, isolated, absolute, independent of everything else. Everything emerges out of the complex play of particular causes and conditions that are themselves always changing. Think of it, that new car you're so excited about, soon to be on the junk pile. In the interim, to be enjoyed, but not clung to. Same for our bodies, same for other people. We make so much of people, we reify them as deities or devils, tell ourselves big stories or little stories of their triumphs or tragedies, divide them into somebodies and nobodies, but they and all of us are soon gone for all the trouble we caused or the beauty we brought into the world. The big issues of yesterday are literally nothing today. The big issues of today will be nothing tomorrow. That doesn't mean they were not or are not important. In fact, they may be far more important than we can possibly conceive. Therefore, we need to be ultra careful not to turn them into a kind of mindless fodder for consumption by thought alone. If we realize the emptiness of things, then we will simultaneously realize their gravity, their fullness, and that may cause us to act with greater purpose and greater integrity, and perhaps as well with greater wisdom in our private lives and also in the shaping of our national policies and conduct as a body politic on the world stage. The sutra drones on. No eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no color, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no object of mind, no realm of eyes, and so forth, until no realm of mind consciousness. Look what it is doing with the senses, with our gateways for knowing the world. It is reminding us that none of our senses or what is sensed has any absolute independent existence. They are all part of a larger fabric of causes and events woven together. We need this reminding over and over again to break or at least call into question the persistent habit of believing that the appearance of things is the reality. No ignorance and also no extinction of it and so forth until no old age and death and also no extinction of them. Here the sutra is reminding us that all our concepts are empty of intrinsic self-existence, including our views of ourselves and our possibilities for improving and transcending anything. It is pointing to the non-dual, beyond all thinking, beyond all limiting concepts, including all Buddhist teachings, which here and in the coming lines are being explicitly included as having no intrinsic self-existence. No suffering, no origination, no stopping, no path, no cognition, also no attainment, with nothing to attain. Once we recognize, remember, and embody in the way we hold the moment and the way we live our lives that there is no attainment and nothing to attain, the sutra is saying all attainment is possible. This is the gift of emptiness, the practice of the non-dual, the manifestation of prajnaparamita, of supreme perfect wisdom. And we already have it. All that is required is to be it. When we are, then form is form, and emptiness is emptiness, and the mind is no longer caught in anything. It is no longer self-centered. It is free. Part 3. The Mystery of the Senses and the Spell of the Sensuous. Soundscape. Heavy early morning, mid-November rain is hitting the roof in the darkness above my head. Every moment there is the sound of it. Can I hear it, beyond my thoughts about the rain, even for one moment? Can I receive these sounds as they are with no concepts whatsoever, including the concept of sound? I notice that hearing happens effortlessly. I don't have to do anything. There's nothing to do. In fact, in order to really hear, I have to get out of the way. In this moment, sitting here, there is no more me hearing, no more rain falling, no more words, no more thoughts. There is just this. Somewhere, far in the background, there is the knowing that I am sitting here, that rain is falling. But the experience, quote, before thinking, behind any thoughts that do secrete themselves, is one of pure sound, just hearing, no longer a separate hearer and what is being heard. There is only hearing, hearing, hearing. And in the hearing, the knowing of sound, beyond words like rain, beyond concepts like me and hearing. The knowing rests in the hearing. For now, they are one. This rain this morning is so forceful, so compelling, so absorbing that attention sustains itself effortlessly. The experiencing of sound has in this moment trumped the conceptual mind. This is not always or even usually the case. It is so easy to be carried into thinking. It is so easy to distract myself, to be carried so far away from the ears that I do not even hear the rain anymore, no matter how forceful, even though the body and the ears are still just as bathed in its sounds as the moment before when there was only just this. So an elemental challenge of mindfulness is to rest in the awareness of hearing, hearing only what is here to be heard, moment by moment by moment, sounds arising, passing, silence inside and underneath sounds, beyond interpreting the momentary experience as either pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, beyond all identifiers and judgments, beyond all thoughts about anything, just this giving myself over to the rain on the roof, sitting, hearing, breathing, knowing. In the hearing, there is momentary freedom from any me hearing and from what is being heard, from both a knower and what is known. For a brief moment, perhaps, we have actually come to, arrived at, our senses. Can we abide here for a time? Can we live here? What would we lose? What might be gained? Trying is not the answer. We do not have to try to hear, but the mind is devious. Can we know it?